Hello, everyone. Welcome to Note to Scene, a music news podcast covering everything from pop punk to metalcore. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where every week we discuss all the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notescene@gmail.com. So much to talk about this week. Big news from Blink-182 and Panic at the Disco. But first, we're going to talk about an unlikely My Chemical Romance imposter. Get your pitchforks ready. Let's go. First note scene of the summer. And I know technically it's not the start of summer, but I consider Memorial Day the start of summer, basically. Like, it's hot out.
It is roasting here in
It's the
Indiana,
summer,
man.
man. Everybody's submitting the
Summer.
summer songs. You know, it's
Summer is
hot.
here. Yep.
Everybody's going outside. What's good, Tyler Sharp? What's going on?
Dude, I'll tell you what's good. It's this Seaway album that they dropped at the end of last summer last year. Big mistake on the release of that. So I just randomly revisited it when I was going running this past week. And dude, I had that thing on front to back, just full album repeat for a good 3 hours. And that is like just the perfect summer record.
Full
I
stop.
it's not a perfect album song to song, because there's definitely some moments where they miss, but those songs are so good. Car Seat Magazine, Lula on the Beach, Apartment. Oh my gosh, dude. They nailed it on that record, and it's so sad that so many people are just never gonna hear that thing. So if you haven't heard that Seaway record, go listen to their newest album. You will
Yeah, we
not regret it.
actually, I mean, of all the pop punk albums we reviewed last year, we liked that one the best, I remember. And we sort of also liked the Rome album as like a companion piece to this one in a
I
way. And
yep.
Seaway released the best pop punk album of last year, you know, because like
Just out of nowhere,
straight out
man.
of nowhere. I mean, and it wasn't amazing, but yeah, I can see how it's a good summer record. And just pop punk is always a good way to kick off the summer, you know?
Totally. Still waiting on that Story So Far record, man. Where the hell's
That
that at?
dude, like the mid-June surprise drop, like let's do
Ooh,
it,
dude,
let's do
there's
it.
no way Pure Noise
I
Surprise
know life
drops
is not that good, man. Life is
that
not that cool.
thing.
We
If
can't have
only.
nice things
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
if only.
All right, let's do a listener question.
Cool.
This one comes in from listener Megan D, who writes in a note to scene@gmail.com. Megan says, "Hi Tyler and Matt, I definitely think that you should make an extra episode for Avril Lavigne." But also, as a former emo, I think you should make an episode about the used My Chemical Romance feud. Do you think that the feud still actually exists, or Bert does it for fan benefit? Huh. Well, first off, shouts to like all you former emos out there. I'm gonna check you real quick. Like, if you listen to the show, you're still emo.
Absolutely. Shouts to you for keeping whatever's left of it
Yeah. Former
alive.
emo is a very loaded term. Be careful with that one.
Right? Yeah.
We might actually have to do that Avril Lavigne episode, Tyler, with all the feedback we got.
I am totally down. I
I
am
think we're
so
gonna
down.
actually have to do it now. That's like I didn't realize what we were getting ourselves into, but oh my God, we're gonna have to do a lot of research for that one.
Diving down the rabbit hole, man. That's what we do.
In regards to Megan's question here, I think the feud is still on. Like, I think G Wei is a nastier guy than people give him credit for. I think he's kind of a brat. And Bert's a fucking
Oh,
savage.
man, dude.
Bert's a fucking savage. Like,
Man, putting the brat label on G Way, you be
dude,
careful,
he is.
man.
That's
You
right.
be careful out there with
Dude,
that.
in my dealing, my ancillary dealings with him and his
Oh, I
camp,
know,
he's
but you tossing some labels out there now, man. You
let's
better be
just
careful.
yeah. But and Bert, like I said, total savage. I mean, dude, he put out Pretty Handsome Awkward, which is like such a savage attack song.
Dude,
Not only is it, you know,
he goes after him in so many different ways on that song.
right, and that's he channeled that anger and that hate he had for Gerard into a banger, which is the best thing you can
Absolute
do, right? And it
banger.
hit at radio. And like that's
Right.
the best revenge you can get, you know? Put the anger into a hit, you know, and have it burn at radio. And he did things in that song like unforgivable things. Like he aired out Gerard Way's bulimia on that
Puke
song.
while
Like
running a
not
mile, man.
dude, not only is that ice cold, but that's like hashtag problematic. Like
In
that probably gets you
2018,
canceled
that's not
today.
allowed, man. That's
That
not
probably gets
allowed.
That probably gets you canceled today. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Airing out somebody's private, conditions like that. And, you know, every diss he has in that song, from, you know, your shallow concept, you know, dissing the whole Black Parade bullshit kind of thing, to just straight up, I hope you choke and die. Like,
or even when he says, hey, are you okay? That's a shot at I'm Not Okay by My Chemical Romance.
Right, like, yeah. Bert not only hates Gerard, but Gerard never responded really to this, and I think it's all pent up and still there, man.
Is Bert gonna take this to his grave, man?
I mean, you know Bert, he's an antagonist, and he's gonna keep poking and prodding until G-Way finally pops, but you know.
He's gotta do something big at this point, man, because it's gonna be hard to save that band from the canyon. I don't know, man.
Will the used implode before G-Way finally responds, you know? Or will G-Way, is he waiting for the used to just, you know, implode?
To just go away?
And then he'll speak his truth.
That's when My Chem will come back, is when the used go away. Oh man.
What if he made that, like, proposition to his fans? Like, if you guys break
that
the
out
used
on
up,
the tweet.
Oh my god, those poor guys in the used, they get savaged so quickly.
He's watching them implode right now with all those lawsuits. Yeah. He's probably just sitting back.
Dude, G-Way, this is the time for the kill, man. The used are like circling the wagons, you know? They're
right.
Like,
yep.
The used are besieged right now, man, from all sides. This is
shipwrecked.
The time.
Shipwrecked. Hashtag shipwrecked. That'd be a fun episode, but that'd have to be like a two-parter, man. We'd have to do like 2 hours.
We couldn't really do a whole episode on just the beef. You know,
no, we'd
have
to do both,
like,
bands.
The rise of those bands together,
right,
and sort of their separation.
Right.
That's definitely something we could do down the pipe, but that would take a lot of research and stuff. So I'm already anxious about the Avril thing we're gonna have to do now.
Oh my gosh.
We'll mark that one down for that. I think we've had other listeners request this very same episode too. So
right. There's been a couple, I think. So
we'll put that one down. But yeah. Anything else you want to say on this T-Sharp?
I don't think so. I'm excited. I hope, you know, once we get more time in our schedules, we'll be pumping out some
You're
bonus
excited
episodes.
To bring back beef. You're fuck, you wanna start
Let's
up,
do it, man. Let's do it.
All right. We thank Megan for writing in. If you have any questions for the show, feel free to send them to notetoscene@gmail.com. But Tyler, holy shit, man, we gotta move on because we have so much music to talk about this week.
It's about time, man.
Starting off here, you know, let's just dive into this bullshit right now. So as it is, UK pop punk heroes released a new song called The Wounded World from their new album, The Great Depression, and have decided they are the new My Chemical Romance. relating to our last listener question, My Chem is in the air, and they're jacking MCR style hard. It's funny because, like, what you have here is a pop punk band who didn't really make it, right? It didn't work out. Like,
it
this
was
experiment.
Over.
Let's take Patty Walters, this YouTube. Is it Waters or Walters?
Walters.
Let's take Patty Walters, this YouTube star, and let's turn him into a pop punk band. You know, this is Fearless Records' idea. Let's build a band around him. And it failed. What'd the last record do, Tyler?
Like 3,000. Yep.
It's just never going to happen. So, you know, after that flop, and this just seems like such a like a shallow like reboot for the band. Like,
shallow
just,
concept.
Yeah. Exactly. Yo. Like, let's just, you know, let's mine all the MCR nostalgia we can. And this is obviously, like, very orchestrated. And this is obviously Fearless isn't on the planning. And it looks really stupid.
Oh, man. So I'm going to throw you remember the OG SpongeBob meme with the rainbow where he says imagination in that scene?
Yeah.
But the meme is just like, you know, things that are everywhere, basically. And mine is the pivots and rebrands are everywhere in the scene right now, man. Like, literally, you cannot look in any direction and not see a pivot or a rebrand. And this is obviously a hard one. Like, this is a hard left turn for this band because, dude, honestly, when they dropped Dial Tones, when Fearless first signed them, and they launched that first full length with that single, that's a good song. Like, it is new wave pop punk song.
Listen, it's a good song. That's the only good song they ever put
exactly,
out.
Exactly, for sure. So, yeah, there is a lot to unpack in all of this, and it's crazy that we're kind of like co-leading with an As It Is song, because that was never supposed to happen on this show.
No, but it was just kind of the most talked about thing. Like, like you said, the rebrands are hard, right?
Yep.
You know, anyone from Under Oath, you know, to A Day to Remember, to, you know, even the 1975, you know, everyone's
right
rebranding as rock music crumbles and dies. But This one was just so cheap to me. Like, this was just, it
Totally.
was like,
Absolutely.
you know what I mean? It was like the Walmart rebrand. Like, it just looks tacky as hell, I think. You know,
Absolutely. We
got
gonna
Patty screaming for the first time on the song. That
So
was kind of interesting
there's a
over that,
couple right over the quote unquote breakdown.
Yeah, well, you got that chiming post-hardcore riff that you've heard in like every post-hardcore song through 04 to 06, you
So I think it's
know?
worth unpacking a little of what Patty has done since the last As It Is record. And one of the things he done is he joined Jared Alangi's post-hardcore band called Crazy 88. And they're really trying to reach back into like 2004 to 2006 post-hardcore. You know, they're crowdfunding their record. I haven't heard much recently. I think they met their goal. I'm not entirely sure. But they do have a couple songs out, a couple covers. You should go check it out. It's pretty decent post-hardcore. It's nothing like overtly special. But so we could tell that Patty was kind of thrown into the new wave pop punk because it was just the thing that was happening in 2014 and 2015. This happened to a lot of bands. They're like, we entered the scene when something was taking off, but that's not necessarily what we like to listen to or what we grew up listening to. So I could totally see Patty just growing up as a post-hardcore kid, you know? Like I could totally
This
see
is to
it.
the point of parody, though. Like,
Oh,
I'm gonna put
totally.
on the
Right,
G-Way
for
suit
sure.
and wear guyliner again.
For
Like,
sure. It
you know
was
what I mean? It
100% calculated.
it's just hilarious.
Over the
Like that.
top. Yeah.
I mean,
Do
I like the blonde guy who's just totally going for it. Like, he's like, I am half dead and like probably Mikey Way. Like
he really looks like Flyleaf's guitarist on the Memento
the.
Mori cycle, just like totally vampire half dead.
Like, you remember when Papa Roach reinvented his emo for like this, like the all the guyliner came in and the black, all the black, like
Which era of Papa was
that
that? Was
was
that the most
Scars.
recent? Oh, okay, Stars.
Scars, yeah. And they reinvented as an emo band. Like, it's just funny. Like, this looks, it's just like,
It's
I don't know. It's kind of
Walmart,
Trumpian in a way,
man.
the way
It's
Donald
the
Trump just does whatever he wants, and you kind of can't say anything because it's just like nothing matters, you know? Like, he just does it, and everyone's like, "Hey, you can't do that," and everybody
then
goes
he
about their
does
day, and this is what that is. Kind of
it.
very Trumpian. It's like they're just, you know, all right.
Whoa, shouts to that nihilistic overtone there, Matt.
Like, forget calling bands for selling out. Like, this is just, you know, they're basically with this move, like saying, you know, we're not really a band. We're just,
Well,
Patty's just a trend chaser, you know?
right, totally. And it's, yeah. And without even getting into the music, I think we should preface this talk with the fact that, like, this is not going to save this band. There's
No,
no way
not at all.
that this band evolves and grows from this. You
No,
know,
yeah,
like,
it's a, you know,
it's still over for As It Is.
like, we all knew My Chemical Romance were going to be influential, and they probably knew they were going to be an influential band, but like, do you think this is what they had in mind? Like, what would happen?
Dude, yeah, literally like what, 15 years after
Yeah.
the Three Cheers era, this is what we're getting.
Like,
We
this.
literally can't usher anything new into the scene, so we're reaching back 15 years
Right.
ago to bring something.
And you know, I'm like, I would be kind of a cheerleader for this sort of thing. Like, I wanted the black makeup and the black
Right.
style to come back, and I wanted the post-hardcore darker
Totally.
songs to come back, but like, in a, you know what I mean? Like, in a more like organic way. This was just a, like, we're gonna flip a switch and be a different band. It just, and like you said, the
Well,
video only has 150,000 views. Like, it's not, it ultimately doesn't matter because it's there as it is. They don't matter. We almost spent too much time talking about them already.
I know. But one thing before we get into the song, one thing that I took away from the rebrand was like, wow, this is really what I was wanting and partially expecting from Sleeping with Sirens when they signed to
Oh,
Warner
yeah.
Brothers. Like, this is exactly, maybe not so over the top, you
Yeah.
know, like Kellen not coming out and just total eyeliner, just complete, you
With a
know,
red tie.
Three
Yeah, like,
Cheers
no.
ripoff, you know, but
Black
kind of
shirt,
like
red
this
tie,
same,
like.
yeah, kind of like this same vibe that
Right,
you
like a
get, like
darker
the
poster.
emo post-hardcore vibe, and
Yeah,
that's what I wanted from that Sleeping album,
let's
definitely.
say Kick Me and sort of, you know, make
Right.
that a little more emo kind of thing.
Right. Just darker.
Consequently, I think this is the best As It Is song since Dial Tones.
Hundred, dude, it's better than Dial Tones, man. I have probably
Better?
listened, yes, I have probably listened to this song like over 50 times, no
You
problem,
know,
since it came out.
oh man, yeah. So that kind of was like, ugh, for me. But
Well,
I'm at a 6 out of
God,
10 this
why
song.
six out
It's
of 10?
it's
What?
It's okay.
Dude, I don't want to unpack it too much because I know that there's really not that much to unpack here. I love this song as a fun kind of shallow jam.
Very shallow.
Because that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the lead up to the breakdown is the cheesiest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And honestly, like, I get more, especially from an aesthetic angle, I get way more Alisana vibes than My Chem, but it's obvious that everyone's going to associate them with My Chem just because My Chem was such a bigger band than Alisana. But
well, and Alisana were kind of that cheesy, shallow MCR about themselves.
Well, they just
so
took,
we're just, a distillation of MCR through Alisana.
Right.
That makes sense.
Like,
that's
Patty,
a good point.
Patty really looks like Shawn Mike, man, during the thespian era.
Yeah.
Like, he is
Man, we're throwing it back to Alisana now? Like, we got nothing left, fam.
There ain't nothing left, man. It is so over, but I'm glad that at least as the scene is convulsing down, we can have these random jams that I like. So,
right.
No joke, I'm at an 8 out of 10 on this song.
Oh, shit.
I love it as this fun, shallow jam.
I'm glad you can find the love in that, but we got to move on, Tyler Sharp, to our other lead story, which is Panic at the Disco. The band released High Hopes, the third song from their upcoming sixth album, out June 22nd. This follows Pray for the Wicked and Silver Lining. Gotta point out, Wicked is doing really well at alt radio still.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's at number 6 the last time I checked, and I hear it all the time in rotation. Like, anytime I get my car, I flip through, I have all my stations programmed, I check just to kind of see where the bands are at, and this one's getting played a lot. Billboard called this song bombastic.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
It's a good word for it.
I would agree with that. Like, this is, it's more glossy and colorful than Wicked. And, like, that chorus just knocks. I like it. I like getting Brendan's higher range in that chorus. It's closer to emo side Panic and less Sinatra vibes. It's a very triumphant song. I like it better than Wicked for sure.
Yes.
I just don't know. I'm still on the fence here. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Is this the song? You know, is the song that saves Panic? I come to my score of ultimately 7.8 out of 10.
Okay.
Really like the song. It's a banger. It's a low key banger.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I can give it that 8 banger status.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at, Tish?
So it. Yeah, this is a bit of a tough. My biggest caveat I have with it is I just don't think he's pushing the Panic limits enough in all of these songs, the three that he's released so far. It really does just feel like,
I mean, just forget about Silver Lining. I mean, that does, like, that's
right. I mean, yeah, I was gonna bring that up too. It's like, what the hell? Why do that? Why even release that song? It just doesn't matter. But like with these new songs, they just feel like Panic songs, you know? And every time we've had a new Panic album since the comeback, every new song and every single and every time they put out something, it has felt like Panic, but also brand new in a way that we didn't have the last time we heard the band. And this still feels like Death of a Bachelor era to me in a way. So that's my biggest disappointment with the song. Gotta say, man, you know, everyone, for whatever reason, everyone's just saying Big Mood all the time now. We got big hooks, man. Like, Brendan's got big hooks. This thing comes in hard with that horn section. And it's funny, my brother, he doesn't do music a lot very well. Like, he just doesn't do dives. But he likes the aesthetic of ska and what it stands for. And I showed him the song, and he was like, whoa, is Panic at the Disco a ska band?
just couldn't be further from ska. That's
right,
kind of hilarious.
Right, I know. I died laughing. And he's just like,
I'm angry over here that someone like associated Panic with Disco with ska.
He hears horn section, and he's
just
like,
you know me and ska.
Oh,
you know,
no, I know. Yeah. See, I'm a little bit more forgiving in there, but Big Hook.
Yeah, you sit through all the Warped Tours like me, man.
Right? Yeah. Big Hook. Love the chorus. The pretty odd pre-chorus has gotta go. We gotta stop reaching back, man. We gotta stop reaching back. It's, you gotta let go, Brendan. If you're gonna reach back, you gotta go to Fever. One more album. It was two more years past that, so keep reaching. I am at a 7 out of 10 on this song.
Okay.
I like it much better than Say Amen, for sure.
Yeah, that chorus just really knocks. I really like it.
It knocks in a way that like an Outkast song kind of knocks for summer choruses. Like they have a couple songs where that horn section comes in. You could just see yourself like just yelling along to this chorus when you're driving around in the summer.
My thing is, if Say Amen is doing so well at radio, you know, number six, this could maybe move into like top 40. I think. You know, this is a little more pop friendly, and it's got horns, which, you know, horns at this point are a little old for pop. You know, I know Ari was doing it big back in the day. There's still a chance there. I don't know. The other thing I wanted to point out is the Vegas Golden Knights are going to the Stanley Cup. You know, Panic being a Vegas band, this kind of would be like the perfect triumphant like theme song for the Golden Knights going in.
Dude,
it's a flashy song. The Golden Knights are a flashy team.
I was thinking like sports anthem. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, literally, like kind of going there with it. Yeah.
Vegas band. You got a Vegas team in the playoffs going to the finals. This could be a good, we might see pairing. I wouldn't be shocked. It just makes sense.
Totally.
For both sides. Interestingly, Panic related, Ryan Ross emerged this week for a show, and he announced some new music.
Did you watch any of it?
I did, and you know, he came out for a friend's show and played some songs. And what I couldn't believe was his friend referenced the Young Veins when they were about to play, and everyone screamed. Like, well, everyone
get
just
out of
shouted.
Here.
Yeah, I was like, what? Like,
no one actually liked that band.
Like that band? Fires. No one liked that band.
Everyone likes what they don't have. And once they have it, it's like, well,
Young Veins. We're going to pretend like that ever mattered. Right. You know, it mattered. It did matter until we heard the music. The second everyone heard that Beatles ripoff, they stopped listening to the Young Veins.
Right.
I just thought it was funny how when she shouted out the Young Veins on stage, just the screams were overwhelming. Dude, the other thing, too, if you listen to the performance, like you hear girls in the crowd. Here's some things I heard. I love you, Ryan. Quote, he's so beautiful. Quote, I'm gonna cry. Quote, actual crazy heavy breathing. I heard like, like people were freaking out. Like, dude's still a rock star.
I mean, he's got it because it's so special to see him on stage. You know, like if he was on stage all the time, I don't know if that'd be the reaction. I guess good for him, you know, good to see him.
You forget, though, I mean, he was the star of this band at one
point. Totally,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, everyone knew he was the writer. He was kind of the poster boy, whereas Brendan was kind of more of the weirdo at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, Ryan Ross was the pretty one. You know, the girls loved him. And he was a star. He could still do something, you know, if he wanted to. And that he said, for 2018, he has a ton of songs ready for release. I don't know what that means or how we're going to get them, but can still do it.
Man, I don't know. I'm very skeptical. I really hope he stopped listening to the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. If he wants to play that Young Veins shit, it's not happening. But, like, if you know what I mean? If he wants to get singer-songwriter-y, like Ed Sheeran kind of thing going
true.
On.
True.
There's no reason a major shouldn't sign Ryan Ross and push him, you know?
Man.
But
man, how would Brendan feel about that?
He should join that that band with Dallin Weeks and the guy from Falling in Reverse.
Oh my god, yeah. Could you imagine?
Other Panic at the Disco?
Yeah. Ex-Panic at the Disco members and ex-Falling in Reverse member.
So we both are kind of around the same area. We like this Panic song.
Yeah.
We think it's a jam. We're just not like, we're not hyped for some reason.
I don't know why, but I'm
not hyped.
I want to be excited about Panic, and
I really want to be.
Man, I want to be at the party, but I just feel like I shouldn't go at this point.
It's fun though.
It's
a fun song.
It's fun, definitely.
All right,
fun.
Let's move on. Late night. Did you see Blink on Kimmel?
I did. Kings of the Weekend. That's the song they played. Interesting.
So the
right?
band played Kings of the Weekend, and they played I Miss You on Jimmy Kimmel Live. I like Kings of the Weekend. I think it's a good song.
It's all right. Not my pick from the album. Definitely not my pick. But man, Travis Barker just going for it, man.
Right.
I mean, give me some of that energy, guy. Like,
does he ever not? You know,
I mean,
but
just like everything that he's done with all the SoundCloud rappers, he's in the Fever. He's just nonstop. And then he gets up on stage and, you know, shouts to Kimmel, man, like throwing it back. Shouts to him for still booking pop punk bands and putting this stuff on, because it's really cool to see. Like, if you ever
go
back,
he's got a long history
and
with,
watch
you know,
the Taking Back Sunday videos, the the Senses Fail videos. It's just so many bands.
He's got a long history with pop punk and emo in general. Through 2003 to 2007, he was booking all of the best bands.
It really helped.
From Taking Back Sunday to Save the Day to the fucking Almost, to
Senses
Fail to Brand New.
Yo, if anyone has a video.
To Asking Alexandria. Dude, they played Closure on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yes, absolutely. But if anyone has video of that Almost performance, it has been wiped from the internet and I cannot find it anywhere. So please send that shit in to me. It is a pretty bad performance, but I love it anyways.
Yeah, that is a terrible performance. It looks like he just woke up and realized he was on stage in front of millions of people.
Hey, listen, 2007 Almost always shouts. I love Southern Weather. Great album.
Fire, man. Southern Weather was fire. Mm-hmm. What a fire name for an album, too. Right. Like a summer album, Southern Weather.
Yeah.
So the band, though, aside Travis aside, like, man, they look so fucking tired. Like, Skiba looked hungover. Like, mm-hmm. He was totally phoning it in. Like, Skiba just looked like he could give a shit. Like, I couldn't even believe, just how lazy he looked up there. Do you think Kings of the Weekend, could they push this as a new single?
I really hope not, man. Give me the new shit. You know,
they got the Vegas residency coming up.
Right. That's why
a big deal. That's what they're trying to promote. Right. So, I mean, do you think, why not push another single? Why play it on Jimmy Kimmel Live if you're not going to push it as a single? It's kind of what I wonder. Why pick this song? Why not play?
I know.
If you're just promoting the residency, why not pick one of the certified jams, you know?
Right. For sure. I really hope not. But I mean, that's really the only reason they would make it or they would play it is to push it as a single. So it's whatever, you know. They've already teased us with new music. I'm just like, all right, we're going back to California now. I'm over it, man. Don't tease new music and then go back to your last album.
All right, I'm gonna end some of your Blink slander. And they also played "I Miss You." Were you able to catch that one, Tyler?
I didn't see that one. How was it?
Okay, so the most important part here is I'm going to rate, you got to rate Skiba's Where Are You? You know, how did he do the Where Are You when he came in? And I'm giving it a 3.
Oh,
like, wow.
No.
So bad, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, the band with Skiba playing this on Kimmel, it felt like elevator music. And, you know, there's usually, like, this building urgency to that song as you listen to it. You know, that hum. Like, it just gets more and more. It just gets bigger as it goes. And just watching them play with Skiba, it sucks, man. It's just, and his Where Are You, you actually got to go back and listen to it. Because it was the worst one I've ever heard him do when he does Where Are You.
Like, man, you're just going in on Skiba today, dude.
Yeah. It's funny, too. Like, the next thing I've written in my notes is just Tom? ? I don't even know why I wrote that, but I'm like,
God.
You know, like.
I couldn't believe you didn't bring it up when they were in the studio. When we talked about him, like, last episode or two episodes ago.
Well, like, you know, my thing is Skiba sucks at being Tom. He can't do Tom.
Right.
Skiba is better as a higher range Mark, you know?
Right.
Skiba works on a song like She's Out of Her Mind, where it's just Skiba kind of doing a little bit of a higher range. He's terrible at impersonating Tom on songs like I Miss You, the most Tom song out there, right? You know what I mean? Like, with
absolutely.
The most iconic Tom verse. Like, he just can't do it.
It's so funny how iconic that verse has become, man. Right when Tom comes in, it's just like, it's universal, man. Like, that it just sets it off so hard. And it's odd. Like, we had to know this coming in that Skiba wasn't going to be able to be Tom. So you got to cut him some slack, but it was really that bad, huh?
Yeah, it really was that bad.
Because we've talked about Skiba before live. Like, we did a full Blink set that we talked about, and you were really about it. I was like,
he sounds good when he's blending in well, you know?
Right.
There are just the Where Are You verse of I Miss You is not his moment to stand out. That's kind of like, let's fade in a little and maybe do a harmony with Mark there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let's chill out on that one. But yeah, Travis Barker's still a beast. He's like, dude, he just looked like way too active compared to the other two guys.
I know, he was so out of place. But like, I just looked at Travis the whole performance. Like,
That guy is just everywhere, man. Yep. In 2018, 2017, really, like, there's just, I'm all about this Travis Barker revival, you know, where he's just going to be everywhere.
Yep.
Next story. We got to do our pop story. So a bunch of musicians have all thrown down the gauntlet and took their shot at Song of the Summer this week. We're going to kind of go through them all here real quick and discuss whether or not we want to add them in play to potential Songs of the Summer on our Song of the Summer tracker. So far on the Song of the Summer tracker potentials, we have Cardi B, I Like It, Selena Gomez, Back to You, Post Malone's Better Now. And we're going to go through these new ones that all came out, and either Tyler or I can add them to the list. It doesn't have to be both of us agreeing, and we're going to pick. And the first one that came out is Demi Lovato and Clean Bandit, Solo. So you probably last remember Clean Bandit from their smash Rockabye with Sean Paul. Which, by the way, what's up with the Sean Paul revival? Like, how do we bring this
guy back?
Is
that happening?
Are you about it? Yeah, dude, he's like back. And he's back on top 40, like, consistently. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's been a long time since Baby Boy.
I was fine with losing him.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why he's getting up. He's back, but it's happening. So, mm-hmm. And then before that, obviously, they dominated radio with Rather Be. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, you got Demi taking her next shot. You know, she has hard times like getting number ones. Usually, like, she put out a song called Cool for the Summer during the summer. It didn't even get to number one, but she finally got it with Sorry Not Sorry. Big smash, her biggest smash yet. And this is kind of her follow-up attempt to get her next number one, I think, and stake her claim at a Song of the Summer. What do you think of this one, T-Sharp?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't really put Demi being on the song as a way for it to be catapulted. Demi just feels really tired to me at certain points. Like, her mm-hmm. hits are very few and far in between her misses. That's just
true.
Kind of been,
she's got,
like,
a lot of misses on the board. Right. But when she hits, like...
When she hits, you know, she hits. But I don't put a lot of weight behind Demi being on the song. But I will say that the chorus, I think, kind of misses. It's a really weird chorus. That it's not the most accessible kind of top 40 pop EDM drop, but that pre-chorus, man, that's a spicy little ditty there for about 30 seconds. Yeah. So altogether, you know, we got a few tracks to go to, so I won't stay too long on any of them, but I'm at a 7 out of 10 on this one. I don't know. I've listened to this song a lot, and I still don't know. So I'm on the fence of whether or not it's actually going to take off. But it's gotten good placement on playlists compared to other songs that we're going to talk about.
So, you know, I heard it. I was like, Spanish guitar. Good sign. You know what I mean? It's your good ingredient. Yep. And I was like, yeah, it's a good chorus. I'm at a 7 out of 10. The exact same score.
Okay.
My answer is no. I'm not going to add this to the Song of the Summer tracker. I think it's going to get in the top 20, but I don't think this is going to be a Song of the Summer.
Okay, yeah, it's tough.
You want to add it, or do you want to say no?
You know what? I'll add it just because you didn't. I'll go for it. I'll stake my claim on this song.
All right, it is officially in there. Okay, so the next song we're going to talk about that came out is Tiesto and Post Malone teamed up for Jackie Chan. And I got to say, I really like this song a lot. Classic Tiesto. Like, it's just classic. His electronic sound, like, you would totally have heard the song in Abercrombie and Fitch in the early 2000s. Post Malone is, like, so good with melody on that chorus, and it's so smooth. I'm at an 8 out of 10 on this song. What are your thoughts?
Wow, you're a banger nation.
It's a banger nation. Air horns, man. Air horns.
Yeah, wow. That's a big, that's a hot take right there. I really do enjoy this song. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing any push behind it. Even though it did get a bit of a media cycle for a potential Song of the Summer bid, but it's kind of problematic in a few different ways in 2018, which I don't want to go there too much, but surprised that it got greenlit by so many different parties as far as, like, lyrical content goes. But
well, you know, there's a new Rush Hour movie, like, in the works, right. I guess. So I just, there's theories this might be attached to the promotion of that.
Okay. All right. So I want to put it on there because I like the song so much, but I'm not seeing any push behind it. So I'm going to say no. I'm at like a 7.3 out of 10 on it.
I like a Post Malone song more than you. That is
it's not a Post Malone song. Dude, he's a feature.
He makes the song.
He kills it. He absolutely kills it because he always
does.
But
I'm with you too. I'm going to say no on this one.
Okay.
Even though I like the song a lot, I don't think I don't think it has the push or the power to become a song of the summer just by virtue of it being so techno. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
doesn't
it's
fit the
just,
mold right now.
Yeah, it's just, it's almost not safe enough to be a number one. So I'm going to say no. One thing, though, we got to remember, though, is that, you know, just because the push isn't there now, like, that's not how Song of the Summer always works. You know, like we saw with Camila, Havana was just, like, dropped as a with another song, the OMG song.
Yep.
And then they wait and until they see it cooking, and then the push happens.
Right.
So there could still be a push for this song. You can't totally count it out, but we're saying no. Okay, next song, Sam Hunt, Downtown's Dead. This is a country guy, and this is a breaking new ground for Note to Scene, the first country guy we've mentioned. But the reason you got to bring it up is because his last hit single was like 2 years ago was a huge song of the summer, Body Like a Back Road. It was a total pop crossover. Downtown's Dead is his follow up to that. What do you think of this song, Tyler Sharp?
I am not about it. Body Like a Back Road was country's Closer. You know, it was country's version of the Chainsmoker and Halsey's Closer. And as we've seen with the Chainsmokers, it's very difficult to follow up
returns.
That moment, man.
Very diminishing returns.
Very diminishing. And, you know, I don't want to automatically lump artists into it, but it's so hard to follow up a smash. And, you know, only certain artists can do it. And I really don't think Sam has done it here. I think that chorus melody misses hard. And it's, you know, it's going to have success at country. But there's no way this crosses over at all. It's just,
so you
it's
saying
not
a
strong
no
enough.
On
hard
the,
no.
Song of the summer.
Hard no. I'm at a 6 out of 10 on this.
Okay. I really like this song a lot. I think, listen, this isn't going to be a pop crossover hit, like Tyler says. This isn't Body Like a Back Road, but if you enjoy gushy romance country ballads about walking through the park on a summer night with your significant other, you'll like this. It's that song. I actually really enjoy it. I'm at an 8 out of 10. But being that this is a country song, it's going to go to number one on country radio. It's not a Body Like the Back Road type. And it's not going to be a song of the summer. It's not going to dominate the pop charts. So I'm at a no as well.
Okay.
All right. One more to get through. They all shot them in this week, and we got to go through them.
Yep.
Pharrell and Camila Cabello teamed up for Sangria Wine. Tyler Sharp, I want to know your thoughts on Sangria Wine.
This is a bad song, Matt, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Completely unbiased, you know, like this is not what it's going to take to be a Song of the Summer hit. I just don't see it moving. It's been out for a minute now. It only has 10 million streams on Spotify. It is getting decent placement on playlists off the good graces of Camila simply appearing on the song, but I really think this
only
song
10
misses
million?
Hard.
You say that, dude. You careful.
It needs to be cooking so much harder than that, man. I need to see Ariana numbers on this song, and it's not. So I know Pharrell has been, you know, semi MIA since Happy. I haven't heard much from him since that song took over the world. And a new song from him would take a minute to start cooking. I don't think this song is strong enough sonically. And I really don't like it. I'm at a 5 out of 10.
And you're at a no?
Absolutely not.
So Camila and Pharrell teaming up. So the thing about Pharrell is like Pharrell is like super smart and good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's had some misses like lately, but he's done a lot of cool. Do you remember when Pharrell brought Daft Punk back?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And made Daft Punk cool again? Like I'll never forget that night. Like I don't know. I think it was like summer of 2013.
Uh-huh.
It was maybe my last semester at college. It was summer. We were all kind of chilling, having like not a party, but like just it was like the final summer and everyone was just kind of coming through the house. We were chilling, drinking beers. It was hot out. And we didn't even have music on. That's how like low key it was. We had like this big house that like four of us rented right by our college. And all of our friends were coming through. It was a good time. Everyone was chilling. And then one of my friends, Cam, he goes, yo, you got that new Daft Punk song? And I was like, what? You know, I was like Daft Punk, like that nerdy techno band from the 90s. And my roommate was like, "Of course I do." And I was like, "What? Like, you know, you got Daft Punk on your iPod?" And we had these giant speakers, and he put it on, and just hearing that song, "Get Lucky," it was just, it was something else, man. It was like, wow, like Pharrell really, really brought Daft Punk back. Totally. And the way the bass and the guitar just like reverberated through our house, it was just an experience hearing that song. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, like the way, just the way he brought back the Earth, Wind, and Fire vibes. And you got Nile Rodgers there, who's just the coolest looking producer, guitar player you'll ever see. It was such an interesting thing to see Pharrell do, and totally made me forgive him for that whole Robin Thicke Bloodlines.
But anyways, gotta bring that up.
My point here is Pharrell's a genius, and I don't like this song either. I hate it less than you. I'm at a 6.5 out of 10.
All right.
But I think it's a fucking earworm, man. Mm-mm. Like, and it gets stuck in your head. It's tropical pop. It's a grinder. It's a dancing single. I think of all these songs, it's got the most potential to be a song of the summer. It's going to go off at hot summer parties. So I'm giving it the yes. We're putting it on the list. Wow. I'm not letting us be wrong about this one.
Wow. All right. That's fine. You know, I'll come back at you when it flops.
All right. We've spent a long time in pop tour territory. So let's go to let's do a heavy story.
All right.
Fever 333. Or do I just call them the Fever, Tyler?
You know, Jason has been referring to them as the Fever 333 on stage this summer at all their festivals they've been playing.
I like that better, 333.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so the Fever, former Let Live singer Jason's new band with Travis Barker and like a bunch of other people, have released their new single, Trigger, the follow-up to their rock radio Rage Against the Machine mimicking hit, Made in America. Tyler Sharp, before we talk about the song, why don't you just kind of give the listeners the rundown on the Fever and like the story of the Fever?
So the Fever is started as this quote unquote super group that kind of, from what I understand, John Feldman found Jason Butler after Let Live broke up. And he was like, this guy needs to be in a band. The world needs this guy in a band. And he, I don't know who brought in the other two members, but the drummer is from Night Versus, and Big Shouts, the guitarist, is from The Chariot. And it is so cool for an old school Chariot diehard fan to see a member, a former member of that band having so much success.
So what is Travis Barker doing then?
So Travis Barker and John Feldman are basically unofficial members of this band. Okay. They join them when they can. They play live. They chill in the studio. They work on music together. They're unofficial, like, honorary members of the Fever 333. And I think, you know, Jason has a very strong aesthetic about the Fever as being, like, this fluid thing. And I could see him just being like, yo, this member's gonna come play with us. Yo, this musician's gonna come play with us. You know, the Fever is everyone. Something cheesy like that, but
that's more of like a conclave. Like, you know what I mean? To him, it's more of a jam set, an ongoing jam session.
Totally. So the Fever was independent last summer.
The Fever is an idea.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's kind of got that Let Live aesthetic. You know, it's Jason, but. They were independent last summer. I heard rumors. Matt and I kind of knew what was going on with the band. They announced they're signing to Roadrunner not too long ago, so they're on
as
a major label.
I just want to say we're always out here knowing.
You know. We always dig in.
We just know.
So we were waiting for the announcement because they submitted Walkin' in My Shoes. I think that's what the song's called. Sorry if it's not. To rock radio before they announced the Roadrunner signing. And it was like hovering at around like, you know, outside 40s, low 30s. And then they announced the signing to Roadrunner. And it has climbed all the way. It's currently sitting at number 12. It was up to number 10 last week. So it's just hovering right there right now. And once you break that 10, it gets really hard to keep climbing. Like, you got to slow burn to the top, especially when you're a new band. So
big deal. I mean, they signed a Roadrunner, you know, who is owned by Atlantic Records.
Right.
They're going to get a major label push. And so turning it back now to the new song they put out, Trigger. What do you think of Trigger, Tyler?
So, all right, listeners, we got to take this back. I've been fighting to get this band on the show for a long time. I fought when they formed, when they dropped their EP, Made in America. Oh, my God.
Fight when they played that show in a parking lot to like four people.
Yes, that was the first time I fought for this band, and Matt was like, nah, man, no.
Dude, I was not like, nah. I don't have, first off, listeners, I don't have that much control. Second off, I don't think I was, I might have been a little dismissive of the band, but I think it was more of like, we didn't have time to get to them.
Right,
like, we
right.
had, they we had too them slotted, small. We yeah. talked about many mm-hmm. times, but like, you know how the show goes, just so many songs come out, they just kept getting bumped.
And then they surprise dropped a full EP the same yeah. week that Hawthorne Heights released their throwback single. And I was like, Matt, we got to talk about the Hawthorne single and we got to talk about the Fever. And he just laughed.
What happened? So much to talk about that. Was that the week we did the Nothing Nowhere episode?
Like, I think so. Yeah, I know. We had a lot to talk about. Yeah. So
it's hard, fam.
So,
like, I try. You know, I'm an old Let Live guy. You know that. Like,
right,
that was my band.
Right,
like,
right. We both backed that band pretty hard. But we thought that they were going to be the next Under Oath, especially after Warped Tour 2013. So I've been about this band for pretty much since the beginning. I was super interested in them and what they were doing, not only because they have an ex-Chariot member in them, but the Night Versus drummer is an absolute shredder, and Jason's just an iconic frontman. So the formula was there for something cool to happen.
I'd say Jason's good. Like, he's not iconic yet, and he should be, but he, I just
iconic
say he's
real in his bubble. Iconic
he just
in
hasn't
his bubble.
He hasn't gotten that recognition yet. You know, he's just not globally known in the way he should
right,
be.
Right, right.
I feel like, you know? He's really fucking good.
If you knew Let Live, then you know that right. Jason was an iconic performer.
Yeah.
You know, like that, if you knew Let Live. And that, unfortunately,
I would be careful with the word iconic.
I know.
I don't think he's earned it yet.
Yeah.
I think he's that good to be iconic. Yeah. I just don't think enough people know about
him. Right, for sure. So I loved the EP. Mm-hmm. I don't like this song. And I'm so pissed that this is the first time we're getting to talk about this band is with a song.
Man,
that
you can
don't
talk
like.
About why you love the EP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Made in America is holy shit. That Feldman hook in that song mm-hmm. just bops, man. Comes in yeah. so hard, gets stuck in your head for days. Go listen to that song. This song, it's kind of redundant and it feels a little kind of, I'm not going to say uninspired, because I think thematically there was thought, that there's obvious thought, you know, social parameters and conversation and concepts that went into the thematics. But sonically, it's just, it gets redundant after a while, man. He just keeps screaming that line, and I'm not about this song. They're obvious, like, there's no way this gets like a radio push or anything. I'm not, you know, we got to think about this band in a major label context. So we got to mm-hmm. think about, what are they taking the right steps to continue moving forward? And I really hope Walking in My Shoes keeps moving. I think it's an interesting song. Like Matt has always told me when we've talked about this band off the show, everyone thinks they're just listening to Rage Against the Machine come back,
which is an asset.
right, totally.
Trick motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. So
ride that wave.
This band is super interesting. I'm very excited for this future. This song is just not the best move, in my
so
opinion.
So I'm on the complete opposite side of you. I didn't care about that EP at all. Like, to me, it's just Rage Light, you know? I just didn't, it didn't really do much for me. I like this song, though, dude.
Why?
Dude, I like the themes of it. Like, Jason's been that guy, man, like calling out fascism and calling out fucking Republican scum and calling out the evil of like certain corporations. He's been that guy, and like, he opens the song, dude, Parkland stand up, you know what I mean? Like, that's a risky line to open your song on, and I just respect the fuck out of that. And
totally,
yeah, I just like, there's just part of me that I just like, I get that fuck yeah mentality. I like a summer rager. Like, I like kicking off the summer with sort of like an asphalt rager that you can go skate to or something. You know what I mean? Like, sure. System of a Down style. You know, like, BYOB shouldn't have worked at radio, but it did. You know what I mean? Like, I just like that.
Yeah, the
aggressive summer rager. You know, I'm at 7.5 out of 10 on this.
Wow, dude, you're right underneath banger, man. Did I give a rating? I can't remember if
I did or not. What's your rate?
I am at a 6.5 out of 10.
So, but again, I'm hesitant though, because dude, I bit hard on Let Live. I was so excited about that band, man, and I feel like I got smoked. Like,
I mean, you weren't alone. We backed that band, man. We backed that band.
I really did, and I feel like they had all the opportunities in the world to blow the fuck up, and they didn't. And they put out bad music in the end. And I just feel like I got burned by them. So I when I start feeling the fever, my reaction is to pull back and be like, wait a minute, you know, Jason ultimately didn't deliver in the end with Let Live. And maybe that's part of why I like this song, because it's the most Let Live like they've put out so far. You know, it's just kind of a straight screamo thing. But yeah, I have that hesitation with this band.
I don't know, man. I was in the same boat. I was a big Let Live fan. I feel good. I feel good about the fever, man.
Feel good about it.
I feel good. I've been watching Walking in My Shoes burn from literally the very bottom of the rock chart on Active Rock Radio, and it has climbed all the way. When I saw it at number 10, holy shit. I was like, here we go, man. Like, this is going to happen. And, you know, they're in a bit of a flux right now, because once you get to number 10, it's really becomes very difficult to keep climbing, but we'll see what happens over the summer. Real quick, got a shout. Under Oath broke the top 20. They peaked at number 17 this past week, and Rapture is now at number 19. And they're in a battle right now with Stone Temple Pilots, Five Finger Death Punch, Seven Dust, and Parkway Drive from 20 to about 16.
Yeah.
So,
you know, they've got to get in that top 10.
Right.
You know?
I mean, that's where they're going.
I still, as a listener of rock radio, I still have not heard the song.
It's still rolling, man. Give us some more time.
I'm waiting patiently, and I want to see it break in. Other bands doing well too. Like I think 30 Seconds to Mars are at number 4 at Alt right now.
Yep.
Wow. You know, still with Dangerous Night too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that song came out like 2 years ago, right?
I am right. Yeah. I am waiting. Muse came in out of nowhere, and they're gonna end the week with number 1. So unfortunately, 30 has to wait for them to fall. And I'm not sure if they have enough longevity left in Dangerous Night. But Imagine Dragons and Lovely the Band both are on their way out, so I really think if 30 can maintain, they could at the very least get to number 2 over the next few weeks. But if they have some longevity, they might be able to knock Muse off and get a number 1.
That would be really cool to see. And it would also be cool to see Under Oath pop into the top 10.
Definitely.
Okay, but since we talked about the fever so much, Tyler, we got to hit these next three stories real quick.
All
so
right.
We got new songs from Mayday, State Champs, and Dance Gavin Dance. And we're just going to go through and hit all these real quick and give our reactions. So Mayday put out their second single, Never Sure, from their album Sunnyland, out June 15th on Fearless Records. I saw a lot of love for this song online. Like, I saw a lot of people waving the Back to the Roots banner. And maybe that's the case. Like, this, I mean, if you think about it, more than the hipster pop of Piece of Your Heart. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this is just basic Mayday. This is a basic bitch band. Like, that's what this band is to me, man. They're just so basic. And this is a baseline Mayday song. It's very forgettable. I'm at a 5.5 out of 10.
Yes, very unremarkable. I almost, like, I had in my notes Mayday's indie punk moment with that D beat on the drums. I was just like, what the hell is going on with this band, man? I thought we were doing the indie pop rock
thing. Yeah, I thought
thing,
we were doing
and
fun,
now
fun,
we're doing,
right?
Now we're doing this sad, like, throwback bullshit. I'm over it. 5 out of 10. Move on. This album won't matter.
Okay. State Champs released a new song called Mine is Gold from their new album Living Proof, which is out June 15th on Pure Noise. I think it's safe to say both Dead and Gone and Crystal Ball were complete misses.
Uh-huh.
Right, Tyler Sharp?
Uh-huh.
This song is very poppy. I like it the best of all three songs. It's a very Blink-182 California kind of chorus, which I found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, though, what I come to is meh, question mark. Like, I'm at a 6.5 out of 10, you know? It's all right.
That's...
Which is where I continually end up with State Champs. It's kind of maddening. Where you at, T-Sharp?
You know, it's really hard to believe this band has released 3 songs from their new album, because I've only heard 1. There is nothing remarkable about any of these songs. They're so middle of the road. They feel so uninspired. And you're right. Like, the first one, it leans more towards Feldman and Five Sauce. This one leads more towards Feldman and Blink. It's just, we've heard these songs before. Go listen to the last 2 State Champs records. You don't have to listen to this new album so far. You know, we haven't heard the whole thing, but like these 3 songs are just B-sides to the last record. And the last record wasn't even as good as the one before that, in my opinion. So I'm over it so far on State Champs. You've given me nothing to latch on to. I am at, same as you, 6.5 out of 10.
just right there, though. You can't, like, hate it, you know
right,
what I mean?
Like, but it's coherent music,
you're not,
you know?
Yeah, like, you can't be mad at it, but it's just, it doesn't ever get above a 7.
Right. Yeah, like, you can't give it to them.
Give us a 7, guys. I mean, come on. You know? All right. Next story. Dance Gavin Dance at the Disco have released Care, the fourth single from their upcoming 8th album, Artificial Selection.
Is it the fourth single?
I'm going to let you speak first on this one, Tyler.
Pretty sure it's the third single. Interesting kind of approach and moment to a single. Not going to lie, little disappointed, especially compared to the hype that we had on Mothership at this point in the cycle. Care is like a more low-key song compared to Midnight Crusade and Son of Robot and your kind of average Dance Gavin Dance song. I don't really like this approach to Dance Gavin Dance, and I hate to do this to my boys, but this song is definitely not for me. I'm going to have to sit with it a little
cut
longer.
In real quick. Tyler, you're right. It is the third single.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay. I'm going to have to sit with it a little longer, but right now I'm at between a 6.5 and a 7. I'm at like a 6.7.
It's hard for you to even give your boy a 7. You gotta like take some distance from this band. Okay, so we got an exotic tropical post-hardcore here. I mean, we're literally starting the song out by, quote, laying by the ocean in the song's intro. For a second, I thought they were gonna go for it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we were gonna get a real single with just clean vocals, but then come in the choppy guitars and the screams. And dude, this song fucking sucks.
Oh,
there's no way around
it.
There's no melody, there's no hook. Tillian even sounds bad, which is rare. Tillian sounds like shit on this song.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 4 out of 10.
God,
like, this song
is bad.
Why you
gotta come out at my boys, man? This is all This is all we got left.
Sorry. It's a bad song.
We gotta savor what we have left of the scene, man. Like, you gotta...
You know, I give them props. For someone who is over this band, you gotta admit, I give them a lot of props. Where they are. And this is just a bad song.
I know.
Yeah, I don't want to admit it, but I know. All right. Before we go, I got a couple recommendations.
Cool.
If you have any, Tyler, feel free to give some recommendations. I want to recommend the new Now Now album. It's just really good emo meets indie pop with an amazing female vocalist who has one of the most beautiful voices out there. I would recommend you check out Now Now's new album. And I would also recommend you check out the new song by Mitski. Mitski's kind of like, this song in particular, it's like really intellectually strong, like indie rock meets like Evanescence. It's a vibe, it's a mood. Just check it out.
I'm gonna have
anything
to check
for
that out.
Sharp?
Yeah, a band called Vane. They're this hardcore band that has come up through the hardcore ranks, but they don't sound like your average hardcore band. Pretty like
not,
90s,
not Vane, right?
Vane, V-E-I-N. V-E-I-N. No. Yeah, not to be confused. V-E-I-N, young hardcore band. They're releasing an album called Error Zone. Unfortunately, it's on Closed Casket Records. It's not gonna matter on that platform, but I've seen some industry people interacting, you know, friends from higher ups in the industry interacting with their posts on social media. So there are powers that be who are aware of this band, and this record is sounding like a punk version of Immure. It is just absolute pyrotechnic chaos on guitars. Their vocalist is an absolute demon. I'm so excited about this album and this band, and I really just hope that they don't end up turning into like Sworn In Part 2, because they whole Windbreaker thing, and yeah, it's a whole thing. But go listen.
That is it for the show this week, Tyler Sharp. We are out of time, unfortunately. We thank everyone for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to send them in to notescene@gmail.com. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you enjoy the show. Until then, we will see you next week.